welcome to episode 29 of season 9 of Move Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the excruciatingly boring so far A Good Day to Die Hard, Die Hard 5, 5 minutes at a time, thankfully, so that we don't have to endure this for an entire 141 minutes. I'm Rob, and welcome back, and thank you for continuing to listen. My guest once again today to finish off his three episode stint is Jake Kluwit of the Deep Blue Sea Pod and Life vs. Film. Welcome back to the torture of A Good Day to Die Hard, Jake.
Oh, spreading the news. This film is bad. But like I said, I don't want to be just like defecating on this film from a great height. It could be a lot better. I get it. But there's... we get a cab driver who sings Frank Sinatra songs, and he's fun. He's the best character in the film in this scene. He's great. He's the Argyle of this film.
Yes. Yeah, I think you can give that to him. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Episode 29 begins with John still at a loss of words and ends with a security guard checking for a bomb under the car. That's pretty much what we got here.
Yeah, I love the expression on the cab driver's face when John starts speaking Russian or asking for a bag of hair.
Yes. So John is in the car, stammers a little bit, and then he goes, Dragansky Courthouse.
Yeah, he's giving it a good shot. It sounds Russian.
Yes.
You know, he's getting the right inflections that I don't know. It sounds Russian.
Yeah, I like the idea that they give us 14 seconds of John stumbling through Russian. You know, again, it's not subtitled here, so I couldn't tell you what exactly he says. But spending 14 seconds on it, it means that they find this to be very important, that John doesn't really speak fluent Russian.
You know, he's making an effort. We from The Great Escape, we know he doesn't say "I love you." That's not in there anywhere.
That's right.
So, well done. But yeah, I like that. It's showing that he's making an effort. He's trying. He's doing more than a lot of other people would.
That's true. We know from yesterday that Jack definitely knows Russian. Yeah.
Sure. Yes. This is showing these two. They're related, but they're very different people.
Yes. But again, he's
the same haircut.
Yes. Well, that's genetic, so yeah.
Just, this is right. Like generotics.
Yeah. So then the cab driver, who did you recognize this actor from anywhere?
He's been in so many things.
Right. This is Pasha Lichnikov. Lichnikov.
Yeah. He's just, he's one of those guys. he's been a Russian or something similar in a whole bunch of stuff, up to and including the most recent Mission Impossible film.
That's right. He has 114, 115 acting credits on IMDb, which is pretty impressive. A lot of TV shows also. Why not? He's still showing up all over the place.
And why not? He's got a good face. He's got a good energy. This is just a stalwart character actor, bit player. You know, he's a working actor. Good for him. Five episodes of Big Bang Theory.
Maybe that's where I recognized him from.
He's a Russian soldier in Indiana Jones 4. He's in Cloverfield. He's in Miami Vice, the film. He's in an episode of Buffy. He's been in everything. He's in Air Force One.
Air Force One, he plays one of the bad guys, do you think?
He plays Prison Guard Number One.
Ah, Prison Guard.
That was his fourth role.
I played Dimitri on The Big Bang Theory. I'm trying to think if I remember who
did. He was a Russian. I'm guessing.
5 and 6. So I've seen it because of...
He's one of the astronauts. I think he's one of the astronauts with Wolowitz.
Yes.
Calls him Fruit Loops. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And now I know why I recognized him when I was watching this. I was like, I know that guy from somewhere. But I didn't
You know,
really
he's
spend the
just.
time to go through all of the 116 credits trying to figure out where he was, but you're right. That makes a lot of sense. I'm a big fan of the Big Bang Theory. I'm actually just about done going through it again.
Oh, nice.
I'm in the middle of season 12, I think. When I watch an episode every now and then when I get a chance. It's not something I'm like in a rush to finish.
Sure.
Doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah.
There are 12 seasons, so I'm
Because it
apparently
is.
in I'm in the final season.
It's 279 episodes.
Yes. Oh wow, I see, I didn't even realize I'm in the final season. I was like, I've just been enjoying it, and every just going season by season. So, ooh, I'm gonna have to think of another show to finish to start watching when I get through the 18 episodes that are left. Interesting, interesting. Okay, so we're actually here to talk about A Good Day to Die Hard,
Sure, why not?
which now makes a lot more sense as to why people would want to die.
What? Okay, it's not that
Well, again, we're just having fun and making
bad.
fun of it.
Sure.
That's what it comes up. And so after he stammers this way, so the cab driver then says to him, "You speak Russian?" And he goes, "How'd I do?" "Well, you asked for a large bag of hair on the way to Taganaska Courthouse, but I got it. I got it. Good." And then John goes, "Traffic sucks here too, huh?" And then the driver goes,
Sex clubs?
"Sex? What? Sex clubs? No sex. It sucks, this traffic. What is it, an
I feel like
accident?"
John shouldn't have said sucks again. But there's still room for ambiguity in
That's
that.
right. He goes, "What is it, an accident?" He goes, "No, garden ring is bad. Always
This will
traffic.
come back
Always
later,
traffic."
listeners.
That's right.
Garden Ring comes back.
That's right. This is Chekhov's garden ring.
Yeah, Chekhov's traffic update.
Now, do you know what the garden ring is?
I'm guessing a big roundabout.
And you would be correct. Is known as the B ring, or the garden ring. It's a circular ring road avenue around central Moscow, and its course corresponding to what used to be the city's ramparts by the guard in the 17th century. It
The
has.
M25 of Russia. That's for UK listeners and no one else.
Not apparently.
That's the road that goes around London.
I understood that that's what you were referring to, but I didn't know where it is.
Was
Is that where you have Big Bang Parliament? Big Ben. Big
no,
Ben.
well, the M25 is the road that goes round London. So it's around the whole outside of London is the M25.
Did you get the reference of what I was saying, Big Ben Parliament?
I admit, I know what the buildings that are in
No,
London.
it's from the European Vacation,
But,
where
oh, I see, yes, because there is the roundabout. Oh, Big Ben, yeah, but yeah, they just keep going around, yeah.
it's
Sure.
Big Ben Parliament, and then they go around again and he goes, "Look, kids, Big Ben Parliament, look,
Round, like,
kids."
as somebody who hates driving, roundabouts aren't that difficult. They're easy to do. They make sense. They're a good idea.
That's right. So the garden ring consists of 17 individual streets and
That's too
15
many.
squares. It has a total circumference of 16 kilometers, which is 9.9 miles, and at its narrowest point, the ring has six lanes. Wow.
And well, so which point are they at?
Yeah, and they're
So
middle of trying to reconstruct it so that it's 10 lanes for the whole thing.
well, the point they're at now, there appears to be eight lanes. Just going back to yesterday's chapter, there were eight lanes of traffic, and then seven lanes going the other direction of no traffic or less traffic. So yeah, that's 15. Too many.
The completely too many. And then the driver at that point turns to him and says, "Are you American?"
No. No, good sir, I'm not.
I'm actually Finnish.
I was born here. I know. I'm just taking a stab at Russian for the sake of it. Yeah. I do like, John says, yeah, New York, I'm American, New York, the Big Apple.
The Big Apple.
Heard of it.
Now, do you know where the nickname of the Big Apple comes from?
No, I don't actually.
Okay. So John Fitzgerald, who is a sports writer for the New York Morning Telegraph, started using it back in the early 1920s. But there's a lot of controversy as to where it actually comes from. There are a lot of false theories also about the whole thing. That the one of them is that the term derived from a woman named Eve who ran a brothel in the city.
Sure.
There is a book from 1909 that has the usage of the Big Apple. It says Kansas is at the sea in New York. A greedy city, it inclines to think that the Big Apple gets a disproportionate share of the national sap. William Sapphire used to use it also, but basically, it was used mostly by John Fitzgerald, as I mentioned, a lot of his horse racing articles, and that's one of the reasons why people started calling it. And then in the 70s, they used the term the Big Apple as a marketing campaign, obviously, in order to try to get people to take a big bite out of the huge success and stuff like that
Sure.
of New York at the time. At this point, the driver starts singing. And then he goes, "I want to wake up in the city that never sleeps." And John goes, "Yeah, that's it." He goes, "Frank Sinatra, chairman of the board." He goes, "Yep, that's right. The chairman. Yeah. You sing good." And then he continues singing. He goes, "These little town blues are melting away. Yes, I sing. I sing all the time. Yeah." And then he starts, continues to sing, "King of the Hill, top of the world." "Huh?" John goes, "Heap. Top of the heap."
I like the Sinatra original of the song. It's good. It's great. But I really like the Real Big Fish cover that they did on the album. I think the album is called Cheer Up. Real Big Fish, a band I enjoy a lot, and their version of New York, New York is great.
I'll have to look out for that one. That's interesting. So, I mean, the song wasn't written by Sinatra. That's the irony of the whole thing. Everyone thinks it's a Sinatra song. Obviously, it's a song that Sinatra sings, but it wasn't a Sinatra original, I guess you can say. It
I am
was
learning.
released in 1977, and it was the theme from the movie New York, New York, which was a Martin Scorsese film.
Scorsese film, yeah.
Yes. It was composed by
Which.
John Kander with lyrics by Fred Ebb. And do you know who performed the original version of the song?
I have not seen the film, but I know that Robert De Niro and Liza Minnelli are in it. So one of them.
Well,
Probably Liza Minnelli.
probably not Robert De Niro. Yes.
Well, he learned to play the saxophone for the film, if I recall. So maybe he learned to sing as well. I don't know.
Yes, so yes, it was Liza Minnelli, and then Sinatra only covered the song 2 years later in '79, and then it became the synonymous with Sinatra, which is pretty funny.
Mean, he did it his way.
Yes, he did, because he always did it his way, like John McClane, who also does things his own way. So maybe that's the connection here.
Maybe that's the connection. Yep.
That's why they
Cool
throw
cut.
that Now, the song only peaked on the charts at 32.
That is surprising.
And it was Sinatra's final top 40 hit, which is very interesting. And they brought it back a few years later, and it only reached 59, and it was eventually nominated for a Grammy for Best Pop Voice Performance Male, but it did not win. I guess California people don't like New York as much.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're being very specialized where you're like, this song is about a state, sure, but the city in the state, they named it twice. So it's very, very populous place. But still, if it's only sells records in there, it's not gonna chart anywhere. If it can make it there, it doesn't have to necessarily make it anywhere.
Yeah, I mean the funny thing about it is that the there aren't that many words to the song. It
There's
starts
at least
spreading the
two,
news I'm
yeah.
leaving today. I want to be a part of it, New York, New York. And then if I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you, New York, New York.
Yeah.
So
I
I don't
mean,
know. And
yeah.
But again, it became synonymous with New York. So
I mean, sure, that's what it should. It becomes synonymous with anywhere else. It becomes synonymous with Ontario.
that's a good point. They played at the Belmont Stakes, which is one of the Triple Crown horse racing things, and ever since 1997 they played at the they played then. Sinatra's version has been played at four Super Bowls, and they actually inducted Sinatra's version of the song into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2013. Martin Short sang and created a parody of it called North Pole, North Pole.
Sure, yeah. Which sold fewer records, I'm assuming.
Yes, that was part of the Santa Claus 3, the Escape Clause.
Okay, of course.
The Simpsons has parodied it numerous times.
Yeah, Springfield is a hell of a town.
Yes.
The school year's up and they're shopping and the shopping mall's down. Springfield, New York, New
Ah,
York.
you're really familiar with that
New
one.
York's that away, man. I used to have the album.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. Right. And then
Stray dogs go to the animal pound. There we go. Stray dogs go to the animal. It's all in there somewhere.
Right. Why not? So again, the conversation between the cabbie and John is a fun way to add to this. Even though we see that John gets more and more comfortable as things are moving along, so that works also.
Yeah, and I like, John's let the guy sing. He's not like, can you chill out, mate? He's like, the guy's having a good time, and so because of this like pleasant interaction, the cabbie's not gonna try and like fleece him for a really long, slow car drive. He's like, it's over there, mate. You can walk.
Right.
He just kind of lets it. And I'm like, no, let's stay in this car. Let's have some fun with a fun character. I'm enjoying spend. Oh, he's gone.
It's the whole thing, and then John wants to know what he's where he needs to go, and he goes, all right, Pegasi Cross, right there. Then he goes, 2 blocks. You better walk. Traffic is bad, really bad. And John goes, how much do I owe you? He goes, hey, no
He's
money.
like, 2 blocks. I did eight times that with Mos Def recently. That's no problem at all. 2 blocks, fine.
That's right. That's a good point. And he goes, no money. You let me sing, you let me sing. You listen to my singing, no money. Welcome to Moscow. And then he continues singing that little town blues are melting away. And then I love how they transition from that to us hearing
The
the
actual
actual
song.
song
Yeah.
from Sinatra. To show us that things are slightly better. when Sinatra is actually singing the song instead of our good friend, the cabbie, who maybe we'll just call Dimitri. I don't know. And then what's funny is we see John then take his bag. He's traveling really light, because he knows that, the important thing is he has a white t-shirt underneath.
This is maybe the most layers we've seen John in. He's in a big junky sweater in two.
In two, exactly. He's in the sweater.
But he's got like a bunch of layers on in here. He's got the undershirt, the shirt, the coat.
You're not talking about the
thickness. No, it's the number of layers.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, John's normally he's a one layer guy, eventually.
But did you notice that other people are just getting out of their cars?
Yes, I did. Everyone's just given up. Not everyone's getting out of taxis. They're getting out of just other cars.
And then they give us a bird's eye view of everything that's going on in Moscow. We see a whole bunch of police cars. We see a shot of both Yuri and Jack being escorted by policemen and a guy in a ski mask, which usually good guys don't wear.
Always a good sign. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them, in a standing V on the steps later. Just a bunch of guys in ski masks.
Yeah,
seriously. Wow. Right. They do things differently there.
That's right. We see them walking, and then we see them in a truck being transported. And Yuri looks over to where Jack is. Jack looks a little bored, I guess, with everything that's going on. We see a whole bunch of cars driving through the narrow streets of the country, of the city, and then we see in the distance the courthouse, and then we get to hear news reports, and we hear protests in central Moscow following a day of demonstrations in Russia. The unrest comes as authorities have been accused of fraud throughout the country's elections. And we have another reporter saying, some pictures out of Russia right now. Protests happening there. This is a look at the demonstration. So again, doesn't really tell us much about the whole thing. We see someone run by with a Russian flag. But since this is not fun with flags, we're not going to get into that.
Sorry. I feel like John's just kind of walking through the street, and then there's a riot going on around him.
Riot police beating people and whatever, and John just walks by.
He's just going for a stroll.
And then we get to see Victor again. Victor, it's just walking through the.
Victor, yeah.
Yeah. Again, I can't remember his last name. Kamarov is the one guy, and he's what was Victor's name? Victor's last name was Shigarin. There we go.
Sure.
So yeah.
Let's just go with Victor.
We're just calling Victor. That makes it a little more sense.
Just stick with that.
So once again, we just get a short little shot of Victor walking, and then we're back in with John walking through the protests, and then shots of birds flying over the river with a whole bunch of cars driving to the left. More pictures of Victor. Pictures of a police escort of the vans, I guess. I don't know, maybe something, but with the prisoners. And Don, once again, in the middle of this demonstration that's happening nearby. And then the police open the door to the big van, and both Yuri and Jack come out. But people are throwing things at them, like garbage. Like
a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like garbage.
Yeah, I think so.
And then we get another shot of a bird's eye view of the city, where there is no traffic. And then it goes back to Yuri being escorted through, and then Jack being escorted by the police. And John just looking on, trying to figure it out. He recognizes his son. What a surprise. Hey, isn't that Jack Gennaro? I don't know. It looks a little familiar.
He's changed a bit in the 3 years since I last saw him.
Yeah, apparently. especially in those 30 months of 2012.
Yeah.
Those were hell. And again, they linger way too long on John looking at Jack and Jack walking through the crowd and John looking at the, you know.
It's just not fun.
No, not at all. And then we see more riot police with another shot of John, you know, thinking about something. And then, as you said, they show us the prisoners walking through a V shape of I guess policemen, armed guards, something. And then we're in the court, and we hear the judge scream out, "Quiet, order in the courtroom!" And he bangs his gavel, "Order in the courtroom, order!" And you know, they bring in the prisoners. People get up. People are shouting. People are making noise. You know, the judge is not happy. And then they put both of them in these like little cells inside the courtroom with air holes. So, you know, they want to make sure that their pets don't suffocate. This is not a Houdini act or anything like that.
Maybe they're bulletproof as well to kind of protect.
Probably.
Protect them, perhaps.
Yeah, that would be my guess. And then the judge asks for them to seal the doors. And then we basically now get a minute, almost a minute, of just various shots of the city. We once again see cars traveling through the city. Maybe these are the cars that that Victor is in. I don't know at this point. We'll have to wait, you know, to see what the movie tells us, who's in these cars, you know. But just various shots of them driving through Moscow, or what's supposed to be Moscow. I don't know if they really filmed this there or not. More shots of John looking around, starting to notice a few things. Again, I like the fact that John is a very good detective, even in places like this where he doesn't know the land, but he sees something suspicious.
He's always watching.
That's right. That's right. And we even see in the background, you know, when there's this van that's backing up. So John's watching it suspiciously, and we see a shot for a bar. You know, it says Heineken. So, you know, nice product placement to add that in there. And then there are pictures of what looks like ears. Maybe those are signs that they're supposed to say that this is like a no noise pollution area or something like that. I have no idea.
Could be. Yeah, I didn't spot him, so I don't know.
And then more shots of John thinking, and John gets a closer look. They zoom in on this van, truck, whatever, and then we see the guy inside actually look at his watch. Apparently waiting for something. And then we get some shots of snipers. So they got snipers on the roof. And then the cars that we've been following reach the checkpoint. And then once again, it's back to the courtroom. I mean, again, I understand why they're doing this, because they want us to understand this is all happening simultaneously. But come on. They go a little overboard with the way that they've done this.
Yeah, I agree. It's a bit much. It's a little over edited.
Right. And then more shots of both Yuri and Jack in these bulletproof areas, apparently listening to the testimony of the judge or something like that, but we have absolutely no idea what's really being said, because it's all completely like muffled.
And then the subtitle says indistinct.
That's right.
Sorry.
Exactly. It's indistinct even to the subtitles. So that already tells you that
if they don't know, we've got no chance.
That's right. Well, we could try to figure it out, but no. And then we see more soldiers, you know, checking these cars, and one of them actually has a mirror that he's checking under the cars, apparently for some sort of explosives. That's usually what you do, or for a stowaway. Maybe they're thinking this is the Great Escape, and yeah, they're looking for Ives, who might be underneath the truck.
Yeah,
is that possible?
They shove some pitchforks in it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Might. that's all there really is to say about these 5 minutes. You know, it did have some fun
parts. I got nothing else.
With the driver, but that's it.
It's the fun part of the film. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's over with now.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So today we will play the game of 6 Degrees of Bruce Willis.
Hey.
Where I will give my guest a name of an actor, and they have to try to see how many moves they can make between actors to connect this actor to Bruce Willis. So your first choice today is Yaphet Kotto.
Yaphet Kotto. Okay. Some options here. Aliens, Midnight Run. There's Live and Let Die. Oh, Sigourney Weaver. Did Sigourney Weaver? So I could go Yaphet Kotto, Sigourney Weaver, Alien, and Sigourney Weaver, Alan Rickman, Galaxy Quest, Alan Rickman, who apparently was in Die Hard with Bruce Willis. Who knows? But I feel like Sigourney Weaver would have done something with Bruce Willis.
What was Sigourney Weaver in with Alan Rickman?
Galaxy Quest.
Ah, Galaxy Quest. Of course.
But I feel like she's in something with Bruce Willis. And I can't think what. I'm picturing a film where they both have cameos. I can't think what that is. Has Bruce Willis done something with John Hurt? Or he's probably done something with Harry Dean Stanton. He's just one of those guys and everything. Or Yaphet Kotto is in Midnight Run. So we've got did De Niro do something with Bruce Willis? I don't think they did. Dennis Farina probably did something with Bruce Willis, but I don't know what. I don't know what. So I'm just going to stick with the Alien Galaxy Quest route.
Okay.
Move on.
Okay. Well, first of all, what you were thinking of is Dennis Farina has been in. He was in. I always forget the name of this movie, even though I like it. Striking Distance with Bruce Willis.
I haven't seen that.
I know, but
still haven't seen that.
Even though you haven't seen it, that doesn't change anything.
Sure, it doesn't count.
Correct. Yeah. So the two that I found was Yaphet Kotto was in the Homicide movie from the TV show with Zelchko Ivanek, who was in Rear Die Hard.
Yep.
But an even better one, that's an easier one, it was Yaphet Kotto was in The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was in The Expendables.
Expendables, sure.
Right.
Okay, so Sigourney Weaver and Bruce Willis are both in The Cold Light of Day.
Never heard
but
of it.
But I was not... No, same. So I could not have been thinking about that, but they are both apparently in it.
Okay.
So that also would have counted if I had cheated.
Okay.
So close tab.
The next one is Peter Dinklage.
Okay. Not even gonna. Peter Dinklage is in a bunch of Harry Potter films with Alan Rickman, who's in Die Hard with Bruce Willis.
Peter Dinklage is in Harry Potter movies. What Harry Potter movies?
He plays. Oh no, sorry, that's bad. I was thinking of Warwick Davis. My apologies to everyone involved. Sorry.
You confused Wicket. Unbelievable.
Yes, I'm sorry. Peter Dinklage is in Avengers. Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
Plays the guy looking for the handle. That's got a bunch of people in it.
I love how they make him a giant in that movie.
Yeah. Right? Where's the handle? Where's the handle? The very bad performance. It's an exaggerated fun performance. So, Samuel L. Jackson is also in that film. And he is Bruce Willis in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Okay, so the two that I found was Peter Dinklage was in Avengers Infinity War with Chris Pratt, who was in the Lego Movie 2 with Bruce Willis.
Sure is, playing John McClane, or Lego John McClane, yeah.
And the other one I found is Peter Dinklage was in Elf with Will Ferrell, who, once again, was in Lego Movie 2 with Bruce Willis.
Sure, yes, President of Business.
Number three for you is Sonny Landham.
Okay, well, I only know one Sonny Landham film, and that's Predator. So I'm going to have to go the Predator route, which Arnold Schwarzenegger, Expendables.
Okay, there you go.
That feels a little too obvious. I wanted to do something more difficult, but that's what I got. So that's what you get.
Okay, so the two that I got were besides that, because I did think of that. Part of the thing was I wasn't sure if you would know who Sonny Landham was. So, you know, and it would have been a problem because if you would have said to me, who is he? And I would say, well, he was in Predator.
Oh, the guy from Predator.
Yeah, he was in Predator. He was in 48 Hours. He was in Action Jackson. So he was in 48 Hours with Nick Nolte, who was in Breakfast of Champions with Bruce Willis. And sure. Another, he was in Action Jackson with Al Leong, who
is in Die Hard.
Is in Die Hard with Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if you wanted to go down that route, I could also say Sonny Landham was in Predator with Shane Black, who wrote The Last Boy Scout.
Yes. That is very true. Okay, your next one is Sally Field.
Sally Field? Okay. Okay, Sally Field. I'm not huge on Sally Field. Obviously, you've got Forrest Gump, and you've got Mrs. Doubtfire. The whole time. And I think she's in Punchline. I never saw Punchline. And she's in other things that I haven't seen. So Forrest Gump also has Tom Hanks, Michael T. Williamson, who was in Con Air, but Bruce Willis was not in Con Air. Bruce Willis also not in Final Destination. What's her name? Who plays Jenny? Lieutenant, you got Lieutenant Dan, you got Dan.
Jenny's Robin Wright. That's what you were thinking.
Thank you, Robin Wright. Yeah, and I'm also trying to think of the guy who plays Lieutenant Dan. I can't remember Gary Sinise's name.
Gary Sinise.
Gary Sinise must have been in something with Bruce Willis. But I can't think what it is. I can only think of all the films that Gary Sinise and Tom Hanks did together, which is at least three. I can't think of any other Gary Sinise films other than ones he did with Tom Hanks. So that's not a good route because I've already got Tom Hanks. Wait. Tom Hanks and Bruce Willis are both Bonfire of the Vanities.
Yes, they were.
Is that okay? I haven't seen it. That was a question. Okay, so good. Sally Field, Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump, Tom Hanks, Bruce Willis, Bonfire of the Vanities. Okay.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so the ones that I had was Sally Field was in Lincoln with Bruce McGill.
Lincoln. She's in Lincoln. I wish she's in Lincoln. And she's Mary Todd.
And what movie was Bruce McGill in with Bruce Willis?
I'm trying to picture Bruce McGill's face. I don't know what film he's in with Bruce Willis, because he's in a lot of films. I'm sorry?
You just mentioned it earlier. Like
Bonfire of the Vanities.
No, before that.
The Last Boy Scout.
Very good, The Last Boy Scout. Very
okay, great. No idea Bruce McGill was in that film.
Bruce McGill is the guy having an affair with Bruce Willis's wife.
Oh, I've seen The Last Boy Scout a total of one time, maybe 25 years ago. So
it's time for a rewatch, Jay.
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
Why not? It's always time for a rewatch. Sure. Sally Field was also in Steel Magnolias with Tom Skerritt, who was in Tears of the Sun with Bruce Willis.
Okay, I have seen neither Steel Magnolias nor Tears of the Sun.
Okay. And your final one is Kiefer Sutherland.
Jesus. Okay, so I mean, they were almost both in this film together because this was originally going to be Die Hard 24/7, apparently, with a crossover. But that didn't happen, so good. Kiefer Sutherland is in The Lost Boys, but I don't know the cast of The Lost Boys, so that's not going to be a lot of help. He's also in Stand By Me, but we don't talk about that film. Because everyone hates that film. What else is Kiefer Sutherland in? He's in the 24 film that I didn't see. God, This is quite bad. He's like a really well-known actor who's been in a bunch of stuff, and I just know him from 24. He's in Young Guns. Haven't seen it. He's in some kind of lifeguard film, I think, but I can't remember what that's even called. I don't know who else is in it. He's in The Sentinel with Eva Longoria, I think. I don't know where that's coming from. I haven't seen that film. But Eva Longoria was she in something with Bruce Willis? I'm going down a route that I don't even know if the first step on the route is correct. That's where we're at the moment with this.
That's the fun of this.
Oh, God, what else is Kiefer Sutherland in? What else is Eva Longoria in? Over Her Dead Body with Paul Rudd? And this is just films I haven't seen. Listeners, if you're wondering, I really want to have dinner and this game to be finished. We've been recording for a while, and I can't think of what else Kiefer Sutherland has been in. It's just making me hungry. Who else is in The Lost Boys? Rob, help me. Who else is in The Lost Boys?
Corey Haim, Corey Feldman,
Jason Patrick is in there, I think. The guy from Bill and Ted that's not Keanu Reeves. Alex Winters.
Alex Winter. Oh, there you go. You can use that one.
Can
Yeah.
I? Is this going through Bill and Ted?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, Al Young. Great. So Keith Sutherland is in The Lost Boys with Alex Winters. Alex Winters is in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure with Al Young, who is in Die Hard with Bruce Willis.
All right. Okay, I was actually hinting towards oh, damn, I can't remember his name right now.
Keanu Reeves? If it's not him, I don't know.
No. The bad guy in Die Hard 2.
Well, William Sadler, of course. Bogus
William
Journey, he's
Sadler.
dead.
William Sadler.
Yes, of course. That makes sense.
That's right. Okay, so the other ones that I have were Kiefer Sutherland was in Young Guns with Emilio Estevez, who was in Loaded Weapon with Bruce Willis.
Of course he is.
And Samuel L. Jackson, obviously.
Sure.
Also, Kiefer Sutherland was in A Few Good Men.
He's in A Few Good Men. Everyone's in A Few Good
Yeah,
Men.
that's right. With Kevin Pollak, who was in The Whole 10 Yards with Bruce Willis.
Sure. And he is in The Sentinel with Eva Longoria. That was correct. I don't know what else. I don't know how that would have helped me. But I just like that I was correct in that. So good.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And okay, so we've finished with 6 degrees, and now we will do the daily game of State Your Motto. And today you have Puerto Rico,
Sure.
a U.S. territory, right? Puerto Rico.
Okay, yeah.
So your three choices are Let God Be First, Justice for All, or John Is His Name.
Wait, John is his name, his estate motto.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I have to go with that one because I feel like, why not?
And obviously, you would be correct.
Right.
It's pretty
Not
funny.
even Rico, a person's name that's in Puerto Rico. Rico is his name. No, John is his name. Great. I don't even want to know why. I'm just happy that is.
Well, I think it's connected to, isn't it connected to the fact that the capital is San Juan? I think that's
That would make
connection
sense.
there.
Okay. Sure.
Right, so it's the Latin is what the hell is that? Janus est nomen eius, which is John is his name. Right, I don't really know what that has anything to do with Puerto Rico, besides the fact that it's called San Juan.
I think maybe that's it.
I mean, I looked to try and figure out what the connection is here, and it brought me to the coat of arms of Puerto Rico, which doesn't really tell me anything else. I was hoping that it would actually explain what the connection is, that is the thing. It's connected to John the Baptist. He is the John that they're referring to when they called it San Juan, I guess. I guess so. It is the 57th most populous city under the jurisdiction of the U.S. with a population of 342,000 people. Wow.
Mm.
That's pretty good. So, yeah, it's it means St. John. So there you go. That's why John is his name. Is the answer to that. Okay, so Jay, thank you very much for making it through these 15 minutes with me, which literally make no sense. Let's hope that maybe, you know, as the movie progresses, something will actually start coming together and making sense. But
I wish you good luck.
As of now, the answer to that is no. But again, we now have another hour and 25 minutes to get through. So maybe something will happen here that will make it a little more interesting. I don't know.
Only time will tell.
Yes. So, Jay, would you like to once again tell everyone where they can find Jay Clewett?
Yeah, that's great. So Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, is my podcast about Deep Blue Sea and other films related to Deep Blue Sea in some way. So if you like shark movies, then come check us out over there. And lifeversusfilm.com is my personal blog where I will occasionally write reviews of films or TV. I'm on Instagram at JAYCLUITT, Jay Clewett. If you want to see pictures of my dogs and waterfalls, that's pretty much all I do over there. And at Deep Blue Sea Pod is where you can follow the podcast on all social media.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, Jay, I'm going to give you a little bit of a hiatus for another 18 episodes. And then, or 17 episodes. And then you'll be back for the finale.
Right.
We will, figure out what the hell happened in this movie. Maybe.
Sure. Looking forward to that.
That's the hope. That's the hope. So we'll be back with you in close to a month or so. Maybe even.
Okay.
It's actually going to be less than
a month. Just a little. Yeah.
Yes. So I will be back tomorrow with yet another gullible guest that wanted to talk about this movie. But until then, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue, yeah. But it ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one.